What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin, and can you believe that it is already Funky Friday? That's right, November 6th, 2015. We plan on getting you locked and loaded for the sporting weekend as we give you a Michigan State and Nebraska college football preview. We'll also chat about Kirk Cousins calling Tom Brady the greatest of all time. Also, if you happen to miss last night's current sports TV sit-down with head coach, well, it used to be, I should say, an assistant coach on the Lansing Catholic football staff, who has gone on to work for multiple programs, who is now the founder of Varsity Nation, which gives high school kids who play football a pretty cool platform to showcase their talent to really woo schools that have Division I or Division II colleges for those kids to play on. Called Varsity Nation, folks. You don't want to miss that. His name is Lee Vickers. If you missed our chat last night on Current Sports TV, we will recap that conversation right here on our airwaves. You don't want to miss that. And speaking of high school football, of course, today marks week two of the high school football playoff action. We'll give you a preview on what's about to go down tonight. And there's one pretty big game that I will be at that I'm pretty excited about. You don't want to miss that. As well as we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. If you want to call in and be a part of the show, 517-355-9527. But you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this November 6th. Allison Mikey, who was the CFO, who is now the chief operating officer for the Lions. She will be reporting directly to owner Martha Ford and will run day-to-day operations of the team. Of course, yesterday, upon the firings of then-GM Martin Mayhew and President Tom Luan, Allison gets that promotion. Now, Mikey will report directly to Ford and oversee, again, those day-to-day business operations of the team, which would include dealing with the salary cap, although not many contract issues should arise before the start of free agency next year. Mikey, who is 40 years old, has been with the Lions since 2004. Now, in April, she was promoted from Vice President of Finance and Administration to Senior VP of Administration and Chief Financial Officer. Well, folks, tonight marks week two of the high school football playoffs. Can you believe that? Of course, games continue this week with district finals, and to sort of give you guys a rundown of what's about to go down tonight concerning our local teams and playoff action. In Division I, we have Brighton at Grand Ledge. That game is at 7 p.m. Division III, St. John's at DeWitt, 7 p.m. Division 5, all these games are 7 p.m. here tonight. Lansing Catholic at Portland, I will be at that one. That's a 7 p.m. kickoff as well. Division 6, Langsburg at Montrose. Sanford Meridian Early College at Ithaca. Then you have in Division 7, Saugatuck at PW. That's 7 p.m., all these 7 p.m. tonight. Fowler at Saginaw Michigan Lutheran Seminary at 7 p.m. In eight-man football, you have Deckerville at Morris. And then you have one game on Saturday, Division 7, Dansville at Homer. That game will be 1 p.m. We'll have more on high school football action in just a sec. Moving on now, Garrett Bowles, a four-star recruit from Utah, is set to visit Michigan State on November 14th. Now, the offensive tackle also has offers from Alabama, Auburn, and Oregon. The Spartans, of course, will desperately be looking for some offensive line depth next year, as it's very possible that they will be losing their starting center, left tackle, and guard, as Jack Allen, Jack Conklin, and Donovan Clark could all be saying bye-bye. The Western Michigan football team made a statement Thursday night at Waldo Stadium. Get this, the Broncos recorded a school record 711 yards of offense in a 54-7 win over Ball State. Unbelievable. Again, folks, 711 yards over Ball State. Now, with the dub, WMU became bowl eligible for the second consecutive season and improved to 5-0 in the MAC play for the first time since 2000. Pretty impressive stuff there. All right, moving on to professional sports action. Coming off their first loss of the season as the Pistons lost to the Indiana Pacers earlier in the week, the Pistons look to bounce back against the Phoenix Suns tonight. Tip-off is set for 9:30 p.m. They will be on the road. This will be a six-game road trip for the Pistons before returning home. The Detroit Red Wings, they visit Toronto tonight for their second matchup of the year. The Wings won the opening night game 4-0 against former head coach Mike Babcock. Prior to puck drop tonight, Hockey Hall of Fame inductees will be introduced, which include former captain Nicholas Lindstrom. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins, they visit Tom Brady and the New England Patriots on Sunday. Cousins said yesterday that he thinks Brady is the greatest of all time. How about that? Cousins went on to say he studies Brady and the way he plays week to week is the goal. All right, the Cincinnati Bengals, they improved to a franchise best 8-0, and it actually tied the longest winning streak in the franchise's history with 8 straight with a dub over Johnny Football. That's right, Johnny Manziel and the Cleveland Browns last night. Now, Andy Dalton connected with Tyler Eifert for 3 TDs in the 31-10 win. Impressive stuff. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, you know that number. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Like us there. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it live here on the airwaves. Or you can even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. Without further ado, let's start the show.
The main reason why they're the second best team in touchdown conversion inside the red zone. Here's Dalton. Having to roll it on. Flips it now. It's caught. Touchdown. Eifert again.
It's Bengals team to get it done.
Second and 10. They get it back to Eifert. He's dragged down by Dansby. Second and 10. Here's Dalton. Pump fake to the end zone. He goes.
It's Eifert. Triple crown tonight.
Third and 6. He's got a connection again with Eifert.
What's up, beautiful people? Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. I don't know if you guys got a chance to check out last night's Thursday night football game on the NFL Network, but man, oh man, are the Cincinnati Bengals good or what? They moved to 8-0 for the first time in franchise history. Eight games straight, eight wins straight actually ties the longest winning streak in that franchise's history. And what you just heard was, of course, a montage of the touchdowns and big plays that were made from the hands of Andy Dalton to the palms of Tyler Eifert time and time again. Wow. Tyler Eifert has become one of the best players in the league, folks. Just his knowledge of the game and his athletic prowess is really impressive. Really impressive. That Cincinnati Bengals team, watch out, folks. I was very impressed sitting back watching that game last night as it got out of hand. Now, looking at Johnny Manziel, because, of course, naturally, whenever Johnny Manziel gets behind center, he's going to garner a lot of attention. A lot of attention, folks. Of course, we all know about his story college football career, and the hoopla was off the chain once the Cleveland Browns drafted Johnny Football out of college to their organization. And I got to be honest, I thought that Johnny Manziel had a pretty solid game, considering the circumstances, considering a very solid Cincinnati Bengals defense that is very well known for getting after the quarterback, getting sacks, putting pressure, and making any quarterback they face on any given Sunday or any given week very uncomfortable. Johnny Manziel, he played solid. It was a very close game heading into halftime, and he actually led his team in that first half to the longest drive in that the Cleveland Browns have had for a touchdown since 2013. Impressive stuff. It was like 91 or 92 yards in which he completed that drive. And then in the second half, we saw a completely different story where, Marvin Lewis and company, they made some adjustments, and Johnny Football wasn't able to do anything. I think he had like 20 yards through the air in the third quarter alone. But still, overall, I thought Johnny Football had a good game, if you ask me, from what I saw last night. Now, it was crazy. I was trying to watch that, and then I was flipping over to TNT. Then they had the Bulls and Thunder game, which was very entertaining as well. And I got to say, and I don't know if you agree with this, Isaac, but watching, and again, we love, and I always say it constantly, we love to overreact in the world of sports. Can we just take a chill pill? Especially in the sports like the NBA and the MLB, in NHL, where we have the season is so long. So many games left to be played. But I was hearing this talk about Derrick Rose of the Chicago Bulls and how, the three games prior to last night, he had been held to under 10 points. I was at the Piston game last week, and he really didn't do much. I think he had something like 8 or 6 points, something like that. It was a really silent game. And you start to hear this dialogue, from NBA analysts out there and from the respective fan base out of Chicago and many, throughout the NBA who just following his fans, saying that Derrick Rose has, quote unquote, checked out as a Chicago Bull. And I'm sitting there saying, hold on. First off, this is Derrick Rose we're talking about. This is a man who has gone through countless injuries just to be on the basketball court. Did we really expect Derrick Rose to just come out the gates and start throwing up 21 and 7 numbers just like that? Like, are you kidding me? I mean, shouldn't we give him a little bit of leeway to get back into just basketball mode? You expect him to come out the gates and just be what Derrick Rose has always been in the past? So that's a little bit unfair when evaluating that. And then when he goes out and does what he did last night, he led the Chicago Bulls in scoring. He came up with some crucial buckets down the stretch. It was rather comical for me to hear the dialogue between Reggie Miller and Charles Barkley at the very beginning of the game when the Thunder, were scoring some buckets, when Russell Westbrook started to get it going. There was one play that really stands out in my mind when Russell Westbrook, he backs down the smaller Derrick Rose, takes him off the glass, and Chuck is criticizing Derrick left and right. And then what happens? In that second half, Derrick just explodes. He gets his teammates involved as well. He lets the offense come to him. And then when it's all said and done, the dust settles. Craig Sager, much love to you, Craig, because we all know about his battle with cancer. And just to see him on the sidelines again reporting is a blessing. But Craig Sager is talking to Derrick Rose, and he brings up the criticism that Derrick had been receiving these past few days, which had bled into last weekend. And Derrick, gives the cliche, great answer. He's just like, hey, I'm numb to it. That's exactly what he said. Quote, I'm numb to it. I'm just going out there. I'm just glad to be back on the court. I knew it was going to take me a while to get back into the groove because during that rehabilitation period, he wasn't able to even condition. He wasn't able to run, folks. It was just go in there, do your rehab, and rest. That was it. So for him to get that win back, he knew it was going to take some time. So all the criticism that came his way, he said, I'm numb to it. I'm just going out there and doing my job game by game. So it's so crazy, though, how as fans, we love to live in the moment. We love to just say, oh, Derrick Rose has been struggling right now the past three games under 10 points. I think he's checked out as a Bull. Are you kidding me? That really got under my skin last night, Isaac.
Yeah, we see so much of that in sports. And I ask,
it's ridiculous.
By the same token, not for the opposite of this to happen too. Because you also see all these people commenting, he's back. He's back. The MVP, the youngest MVP ever has returned.
There's a line.
And
there's a line.
He hasn't.
Right.
I mean,
right.
D. Rose is not the same player he was. You saw the way he scored last night. He went throwing down hammers. He was doing a lot of very nice, quick dribble moves, dribbling in and out, creating some space for a pull-up jumper. That's not the D. Rose of old, but it was so encouraging seeing him back on the court for, I think 36 minutes healthy, and he really showed. He limited Russell Westbrook to 20 points. I say limited. That's an off game for Russell Westbrook. But even so, Derrick Rose was great last night. It was so reassuring to see him back. I think Fred Hoiberg's system for Derrick Rose will really be a breath of fresh air in that fast-paced offensive system where he doesn't have to create the offense himself. So, no, it's just great seeing Derrick Rose, a man who's been through so much, so many trials and tribulations, as you always say. And he's not back, but he's back playing better. And that's what we like to see.
I just want people to chill. Just take a chill. Can we just enjoy the beginning of the year? Just chill.
Yeah, I'm
and
with you.
Talk to me when we get to around Christmas, okay? When we get around Christmas, then we'll start having those legit conversations of where teams really stack up right now, okay? Now, for some teams, it's really, really obvious that they're bad and that they are struggling and they need help right now, like the Los
New
Angeles
Orleans
Lakers
Pelicans.
And the Pelicans. You guys just need to get healthy.
It is. No, that's you're exactly
you
right, but it's just frustrating.
Yeah, just get healthy for the Pelicans. But
I'm
teams like the Lakers, when you look at that roster from top to bottom and you say, oh, that's all you can say. Just
no
make it,
ah,
that's just bad. You know what I mean? So just take a chill pill, folks. Enjoy the sport. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You know what? When we had Ronald Mann on the show, I don't know if you guys know who Ronald Mann is, but Ronald Mann is an MMA fighter who is actually an amputee. We actually did a feature on Ronald. Man, I want to say not this past summer, but the summer before last. And he's always been one of my favorite guests, one of my favorite guys in the Mid-Michigan sporting scene. And his story is such an inspirational one. And, you know, he comes to mind right now because yesterday, to end our show, we had Ron DeLeon on the show. Ron DeLeon is a local boxing and MMA fight promoter. And Ron DeLeon, he does a great job with promoting the sport right here in the Lansing area, the Mid-Michigan area. They have actually an event tomorrow at the Lansing Center, showcasing many of the best fighters from across this entire state. It's always a great time going there. And one of the fighters that will be on that slate fighting tomorrow, and actually his final fight, is Ronald Mann. He actually hit me up because I always promote the show on Facebook and social media, Twitter, Instagram. And Ronald happened to be on Facebook during the time where we had Ron DeLeon on the show. And I just want to read this message that he sent me. He sent me this message immediately after the show. He said, quote, "My friend, saw that you interviewed Ron. And just to let you know, I am retiring Saturday. It's been 20 years and one heck of a run. But now is the time. You're the first I've told. Ron and I are doing a special presentation for my fight against amputee standards. This is the end of a history. And would be proud to have you involved. Many have come to me. Much has come from your reporting, and for that, and what I'm doing for others. I am in your debt." That just shows you the type of guy that Ronald Mann is, and I feel honored that he decided to send me that message and keep me in the loop. And I'm sure that the local fighting world will miss Ronald Mann. He is one of the most inspirational individuals I have ever come across. I mean, his story is unbelievable. If you haven't seen it, you can view that on video.wker.org. He's also been a part of our radio show countless times and told his very impassioned story about how he lost his leg, how he was in the military, how he bounced back from that, his very first fight, how he used to he wanted to not, you know, be looked at as a handicapped individual so bad, especially in the fighting world where it's all about respect, that he used to actually wear sweatpants during his fights. He wouldn't tell the promoters that he was an amputee, and he would go in there and kick guys' tails, win the fight, and then at the end of the fight, no one knew he was an amputee. He would pop his leg off and raise it above his head, and the entire crowd would be stunned. His story is one that is certainly one that's unbelievable and one that's so unique and one of the more memorable ones we've ever had on the show. We have to have Ron on very, very soon to talk about his decision to walk away from the sport and what he will be doing after that. But I wanted to give a shout out to Ronald Mann because I was very, very touched from his message after yesterday's show. Again, folks, phone lines are open 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Man, can't believe it's already Friday, folks. Tomorrow, Michigan State football gets back at it against Nebraska on the road. A night game. I'm going to give you a preview of that one in just a sec. But I want to get to a story that we didn't get a chance to discuss, Isaac, yesterday. And that is concerning Adidas, the sportswear giant. They announced yesterday that it will offer free design resources and financial assistance to any high schools that want to change their logo or mascot from Native American imagery or symbolism. The company announced the initiative ahead of the Tribal Nations Conference at the White House, which Adidas executives attend. This is actually coming from, this is a statement, a direct quote from Adidas executive board member Eric Leitke. He said this in a statement, quote, "Sports have the power to change lives. Sports give young people limitless potential. Young athletes have hope. They have desire, and they have a will to win. Importantly, sports must be inclusive. Today, we are harnessing the influence of sports in our culture to lead change for our communities." Now, it's said that approximately 2,000 high schools in the U.S., again, 2,000 high schools in the United States of America use names that, quote, cause concern for many tribal communities. I have to say, when I heard this story, immediately I said hats off to Adidas. This is a story that directly affects change in a positive way, because now we've had this conversation countless times here on our airwaves, Isaac, where, and I have voiced my thoughts on the Washington Redskins name in professional football. We see here locally how Okemos High School, they changed their mascot name from the Chieftains to the Chiefs to sort of, you know, adhere to the, you know, not offending the Native American culture. And I have always stood up and said that, hey, if it offends an entire demographic of people, an entire culture of people, then change needs to happen here. Change certainly needs to happen here, because if it was the other way around, where it offended a different culture of individuals, we may see a change at a faster rate. But now that you have a giant in the sports world, that in Adidas, that has been for quite some time backing this and saying, hey, we are willing to also come out of our pockets to make sure that if you want to change your mascot, you have no excuse, because we will provide you with the financial support to do it. I think you're going to see a lot of high schools jump on this train. And this takes a lot of gusto for a brand like Adidas to do this, because in many people's eyes who disagree with this whole thing and think that tradition is a part of sports and that you shouldn't change the mascot name, it's going to ruffle some feathers. They may lose some clientele because of this. But what's right is what's right, and Adidas is standing by principles rather than popularity.
Exactly. You couldn't have said that any better, Al. Adidas, hats off to them, because, you know, so many people criticize this move as overly political correct, as an example of the wussification of America. That's what this will be called by a large amount of people, especially when it comes to football. But, hey, this is the right thing to do. At the end of the day, like you said, this could offend, especially when using terms like red skin, things like that, an entire demographic, an entire population of the American people, which is absolutely ridiculous. That's the type of thing you've got to strain out in society. Anybody who really rejects this offer from Adidas does so purely because they're dogmatic, obstinate, because they're not willing to change, just to kind of stick it to the people who they don't like. And that's ridiculous. You see examples of this in so many different levels of sports, from Little League to the pros, to you know, the Washington Redskins, to these little peewee football teams, and just send the wrong message. It is exclusive, and it's hard to imagine. We see already a separation between the Native Americans and, you know, everybody else really in society. Tribal cultures, there are different land grants given to those tribes. And these names just go further to sort of alienate those people. And this is a step in the right direction, I think.
It definitely is. And, it really shocked me. This story had the shock value in my eyes, because it's rare that you see a big brand or a big company get involved with something like this. You know, something like this that hits on so many areas, like, you know, culture and in many ways racism. You rarely see a brand put their name on the line like this. And Adidas is saying, we're not afraid. We're going to do this, and we're going to provide you with the moolah to do it. I think that's also a key component, because for a lot of teams, in order to change your name, to change your brand, to change that offensive name, quote unquote, that's going to cost money. You got to get new jerseys. You have to change the team colors, maybe. You have to change the team mascot. You know, that cost a lot of money for a school to do that. And I think that's why a lot of high schools haven't made that move, when maybe the majority of those who are a part of the high school in general may agree that they need to make this change, but they're not pressed to do it because it may not fit in the budget. Now these high schools have no excuse.
Well, and what this will do is it'll really point out and shine a spotlight on anybody who doesn't take up this offer. It'll show how backwards that school's principal or something like that is, because in their way of thinking, because now they've got the resources to do this.
Right.
You're right. You always had the excuse, hey, maybe the budget's tight, and that's fair. That is fair, because it takes a lot of money to rebrand a school, especially if you're trying to attract and draw in new students. Then you've got to re-promote your name, re-promote the school, all of that. But you don't have to do that anymore. If Adidas provides the resources, then it's free to do, and it'll really signify who wants to make this change happen and who's really turning a blind eye to it and not doing their responsibility as leadership of these programs.
Right.
And also, like you said, just you don't see companies take a stance like this because
they're afraid.
Fear.
They're afraid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're afraid to lose any sort of revenue. And
right.
Adidas making a stance like this goes a long way, in my opinion.
I agree, folks. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. All right, let's talk Michigan State football. The Spartans will take on Nebraska. Of course, Michigan State coming off a bye week last week, a pretty timely bye week as well. I mean, they hit 8-0. There's a lot of injuries on this squad. That bye week gave a lot of players the time to just max tax and relax and just get healthy. Point blank, period. We talked about yesterday how Jack Allen said he is 100% ready to go. He was one of those players that has been hampered with injuries. When looking at the laundry list of injuries that have occurred this year. So now they play Nebraska on the road, night game. It's a venue in which the Spartans haven't played well at. I got to be honest. I mean, the Spartans have struggled on the road in Nebraska. And, you know, I always wonder about teams that come off the bye week, especially hot teams, because when you're hot, you're hot. Now, you could argue the contrary here and say that Michigan State, they've gotten to 8-0, but it's been very ugly. We all know that. It's been very ugly. So I don't know how hot they have been this year, but a dub is a dub. How long will it take them to get into game mode coming off a bye week is always the question that I have for teams that are coming off a week of that nature. But this is going to be an interesting game. Michigan State clearly is the team with the most talent on this squad. Of course, I think the difference maker, which he has been pretty much this entire season, the difference maker is, let's be real here, Connor Cook at quarterback. Connor Cook has been the head honcho for this team. He's been the reason why this team, one of the reasons I should say, why this team is 8-0. Whenever Michigan State is in these tough battles, Connor Cook has constantly and consistently made the right reads and the right plays downfield to his outstanding receivers. I got to give a lot of credit to them, guys like Aaron Burbridge and R.J. Shelton. And those guys have made big plays for this team. And so it's a collaborative effort, but Connor Cook has had just nerves of steel down the stretch. So in my opinion, I think if Connor Cook comes out and plays the way he has been playing all year, down the stretch, it may be a tight game, because we know how that Michigan State defense has given up big plays when it comes to that secondary, even though I do think they are getting better with guys like Grayson Miller stepping into those roles, and we've seen those guys step up and be able to contain a defense throughout an entire game. But at the same time, you can pretty much bet that Michigan State defense is going to give up at least three quote-unquote big plays down the field. How they come back from that is going to be on that offense, and I'm not worried about the Michigan State offense in this game, Isaac.
Well, one thing I would keep an eye on, Tommy Armstrong Jr., the Nebraska quarterback, he should play, I'd imagine, such an important game for Nebraska, but he's been struggling with a foot injury.
Right.
So if he's out, that means the backup quarterback who got his first start, Fife, last week against Purdue, played pretty well, but that means he'll have to go against a Michigan State defense of the likes that he's never seen before. I think the bigger thing to watch, though, I'm with you. I think offensively, this is a Nebraska team that gave up 55 points to Purdue last week. 55. I mean, right. Purdue is not a great football team. They're not bad, but 55 points is a lot to give up to a Boilermakers team with a freshman starting quarterback in David Blough, completing 28 of 43, 274, four touchdowns. For me, the key is the same as it's been all year, and we saw it last week. Take the leash off of Connor Cooklum, decide the outcome of this game early, and then maybe you can take your foot off the gas. But I'm with you. I think defensively, maybe expect a few big plays given up, especially since you don't have the scouting report. If it's not Tommy Armstrong, if you do have Tommy Armstrong, the kid's got a cannon, and he can get out of the pocket, which has been a problem for Michigan State dealing with mobile quarterbacks. So, but I think it'll all come down to Connor Cook. He cannot allow himself to play a par game, a game where he's matched by the Nebraska quarterback, whoever it is.
I think that Tommy Armstrong certainly has the potential to match Connor in this game against that Michigan State defense. I don't know. Tommy is a guy. This is the thing, though. When looking at Tommy Armstrong, I saw this last night. Tommy, he only completes 53.5% of his passes. So yep. His completion percentage is not great at the end of the day. But he's a guy that gives you different looks when you are a defense because under Bo Pelini, they run that option. And Tommy's a guy who can burn you with his legs as well as his arm, which is a cannon. He can get that ball down the field. But thing is, his accuracy is what's in question here. But Michigan State is certainly going to have to be on their P's and Q's because that Nebraska offense is one that can sting you if you aren't ready. End of the day, I think Michigan State does win this game. I think they do move to 9-0 and handle business. I think it will be close, just like we've seen. I think it will be close up until maybe like the midway through the fourth quarter. Michigan State pulls away. I'm going to say Michigan State wins this game 35-27.
Yeah, I like that pick. I say 38-31 Spartans. I'm with you. I think it'll be close. I think no matter what, we'll see that banged up secondary really get exposed for Michigan State yet again. But I'd expect them to eventually just put the clamps down, make an important stop when they need it against either Tommy Armstrong or the backup quarterback in Fife, whoever it may be that's starting. And I think Michigan State ends up winning this game, not easily, because Nebraska's been a team that's played teams close throughout the year.
I saw a stat, man. I actually read it here. I mean, you know, before last week's 10-point loss to Purdue, the previous five losses were by a combined 13 points. That's it. You know, even a Hail Mary loss to BYU. So a lot of these losses can be a bit deceiving. This is a team that has been in games. They have been in these games, Isaac. So that's why I think this game is going to be much closer than people may expect when looking at it on paper.
I agree 100% because Nebraska is a team, like you said, they just hang in there. They take shots throughout the game, and sometimes that leaves themselves vulnerable at the end to the other team just kicking the game-winning field goal or something like that. But during the game, they go guns out. They pass it 36 times a game on average, meaning they can't really close out games with the run quite as well. But I wouldn't expect Nebraska to be in that situation in the first place. I think Michigan State has the lead, holds on, even if it's just by a hair. But I think Michigan State does 38-31.
What do you guys think? Call in. Give us your thoughts on tomorrow night's game, Michigan State and Nebraska. Of course, Michigan State's first game coming off the bye week. What do you think? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll give you a recap of last night's Current Sports TV sit-down with youth football coach Lee Vickers. He'll give you a preview of the Lansing Catholic in Portland high school football playoff game tonight. That's where Current Sports will also be at, covering that game. All of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I don't know if you guys saw this, but check out this. Comedian Kevin Hart coming to East Lansing. How cool is that? I know the news was released yesterday. I got a chance to see the tour that is actually coming here to the Breslin Center on November 24th, entitled the What Not Tour. Kevin Hart, my favorite comedian. I actually saw him in Ohio for the What Not Tour. What Now Tour, and hilarious. I think it's his best stand-up that he's ever done. Kevin Hart, man, he just keeps on bringing it. But for those that haven't seen it and those who are going to that event, again, November 24th at the Breslin Center, you are in for a treat because that stand-up had me crying laughing the entire time. Pretty cool stuff. 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to be a part of today's show. And we have a caller right now, I believe, on line one. We've got Steve from Dansville. Steve, welcome to the show. How you doing, bud? Oh, do we have him? Steve? Is Steve there?
Says he's on.
Steve, are you there? My man, Steve. Steve. Oh, do we have him? Hello?
Just logged off.
Okay.
Call back in, Steve.
Call back in, Steve. I don't know. Was he on a? He probably was on a cell phone or something like that. I don't know. But, again, call in, folks. 517-355-9527. Call in, Steve. We'll get you back here on the airwaves here. I do believe he's calling right now. I want to get to him before we play this Current Sports TV recap with youth football coach Lee Vickers. For those that missed it on WKAR-TV last night, it was a great time getting to chat with Lee. He's man, his career as a football player and, you know, when it comes to coaching, it's pretty interesting. He grew up in Detroit, was on the assistant coaching staff for Olivet. Very cool stuff. We have a caller right now, Isaac? All right, let's go to line one right now. We've got actually Kirk from Grand Ledge on right now. Kirk, how you doing?
Not too bad, Al. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too.
Thank you.
Hey, I was in Breslin Center on Wednesday. And as I was sitting in Breslin Center on Wednesday, I could have swore the voice of the PA announcer was not Eric Oferseth anymore. It was, I think, a guy named Al Martin.
I didn't, really? I don't know if that was me. I don't know if that was me, Kirk. No, it was, man. I had a great time. Yes, I was the PA announcer for the Michigan State and Northern Michigan game on Wednesday, filling in. I've never done it before. That was actually my first time ever PA announcing, and it was fun. It was a fun time, Kirk.
Well, I was wondering if you had done that before. You know, I realized that, I mean, I'd gone to a couple games last year, but I really hadn't paid that much attention. And then when I heard the PA announcer, I went to my wife. I said, well, that's Al Martin.
You should have came down and said hi, my friend.
Are you going to be doing that more?
Well, I have no idea. I mean, they hit me up and said, hey, Al, would you like to PA announce? And, you know, I was going to be there anyway, covering the game, of course, for WKAR. So I said, yeah, why not? My intern was there shooting the game for me. And I had hosted – they asked me to host Midnight Madness earlier on in the year, so they brought me on for that game. And I have no idea. I mean, if they need me, I'm there. But as of right now, I just filled in for them that night, and I had a great time doing it.
Well – you know, I hate to be a critic here or whatever, but and I realize it was an exhibition game, but I could have swore at one point in time you said Denzel for three.
I did.
Valentine
when it was a two.
Did about a six footer.
You know what? You caught that, Kirk. That was the only time I messed up the entire night. No one has said that to me except you, my friend. And when I said it, I looked to the ref to my left and I was like, let's chalk that one up. You are good. You were really listening that night. You're right. It was like he had like a baby, like a floater in the
yeah,
lane.
It was like a little half hook thing or
right.
something.
And
in the lane, about 6 feet away.
And they were draining threes all night. I guess it was ingrained in my head, and I was like, Denzel for three. I'm like, well, I can't say for two now. That would just make me look stupid. So I just let it ride. So good ear, Kirk. Good ear, my man.
Well, we were there because we have a nephew who played for Northern. So
okay, nice.
We had both Michigan State, allegiance and also family ties there. So that was a lot of fun to be at that game. So
it was, man. It was a good atmosphere as well. I mean, it just feels good to have basketball back, right?
Yeah.
All right, Kirk. Thanks a lot for the call, my man.
Take care, Al.
All right, you do the same. All right, folks. Yeah, Isaac, no one just brought that up to me. That was like the only, and when I said it, I'm like, oh, why did I just say that?
What happened? Did you not see the play?
I saw the play. I saw it happen right in front of me. But before that, Bryn Forbes had hit down back-to-back three-pointers, and for three was stuck in my head, and I said, Denzel for three. And I'm like, no, that was clearly a floater. So, hey, I'm human. I'm human,
it's,
folks.
I guess natural conditioning. You know that
right.
study, human operative conditioning,
right.
I think? Something happens so much, they make enough shots, you just get used to saying it's a three.
It was a reflex. It was a reflex. But I had a great time. It was a great atmosphere on Wednesday night. Just good to have basketball back. All right, let's give the folks a preview of, a recap, I should say, of last night's Current Sports TV sit-down with youth football coach Lee Vickers. He grew up in Detroit, went to Cooley High School, was a great player. He went on to play for Olivet College. And from there, he became a coach on the assistant coaching staff with Olivet. Then he bounced around a bit. He came right here in Michigan, became an assistant coach for various programs. One of the more notable times was when he was a four-year assistant coach under the tutelage of Jim Ahern for the Lansing Catholic Cougars. Just an unbelievable journey. He's founded Varsity Nation, which is a 7-on-7 league, which gives kids who really have a realistic opportunity to play at the college level a platform to do so. Unbelievable dude. So I first had to start off our conversation by asking him his thoughts, seeing as though he does have a certain connection with the Lansing Catholic football program. Who do you think will win tonight? Lansing Catholic, Portland, week two of high school football playoff action.
Lansing Catholic travels well. Fan base will be excited. I'm sure people will be taking the day off. But on a coaching note, they got one of the finest coaching staffs, you know, in the area. And I'm sure they made the necessary adjustments. Portland runs a similar offense as St. Mary's, mm-hmm. Monroe St. Mary's. And one of my guys had a great day against those dudes. So my assumption is that Portland will get handed a loss. It's hard.
You think so? When looking at what occurred in that first game.
Turnovers, man.
The turnovers for
turnovers.
Lansing Catholic.
That's an anomaly.
Right.
Tony won't have that kind of day. The weather will be good. I mean, the track will be fast, and the spoiler alert is on.
Right. Well, I tell you what really stood out to me, Lee, when watching that game and covering that game earlier this season was the pressure mm-hmm. that Portland was able to put on star quarterback Tony Poljan that frustrated him throughout the entire night. That was the story of that game. Sure, he's a great quarterback. He's got great elusiveness, I should say. But at the mm-hmm. same time, when you don't have any protection, what do you expect is going to happen, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm sure the adjustments have been made, and there have been many hours of preparation through the coaching staff, being one that was on that coaching staff and spent many hours in the dungeon, you know, working it out, I'm sure. They got that all remedied. Jim Baker and those guys got that all remedied for sure.
Now, Lee, as you just stated, you certainly have an affinity for the Cougar program, seeing mm-hmm. as though you spent 4 years with them on that coaching staff, of course, under the tutelage of Jim Ahern. What was it like for you being a part of that program, looking at your coaching tenure as a Cougar?
Mm-hmm. It was good, man. I mean, I loved working under a Hall of Fame coach like Jim Ahern. I mean, you just learn something every day. And his temperament was so different than mine. I'm a rah-rah guy, I'm a hyper, I'm excitable, you know. And Jim was real laid back. I mean, just how he went about everything, real methodical. He was a school counselor, so he just, everything was step by step by step. And, you know, running the way he ran practice, it was real real crisp, real easy. And he just had a real great rapport with the kids. Like, you know, he didn't lead from a position and people respect him because it was the position. People respected him. And then from there, they respected the position.
Right. It was respect from who he was as a man.
You know, and you can't ask for much more than that.
No, yeah. You can't. And of course, Jim's when you look at his I call it the Jim Ahern family tree. When you look at the amount of coaches in this area and beyond that have either worked with Jim on his staff and have gone on to be a head coach somewhere, I mean, it is really remarkable. And, of course, you are part of that tree, Coach Lee Vickers. Now, Lee, for you, what is it that you take as a coach that you learn from Coach Ahern?
Just to be cool, under pressure. Now, I've seen just like anybody, Coach Ahern can, you know, he can get excited, he can get a little rattled. But generally speaking, you don't find yourself over the last 5 years in two state championship games because you're not a cool character, because you don't know how to handle the pressure. And we're talking about the pressure throughout the week. We're talking about the pressure with the parents, with the students, heck, with your own personal life. That man been taking care of his business week after week, month after month, and been showing, and you can see the fruit of it in a program that traditionally has not been one of the best in the area.
Mm-hmm, right.
But now, as of late, ever since he got there, was it 08, 09?
Right. He's built it.
Perennial playoff team, scary, people changing their schedules. They'll set up something. Oh, we'll play Lansing Catholic, then all of a sudden, no, thank you.
No, so that's happened before.
Oh, happened before. I'm sure it happens every year.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why we had to dig out Monroe from way down there in Monroe County.
Yeah.
It's because teams like Lumen, you know, a lot of teams closer. But no. I mean, we had a couple other teams set on a schedule, and they just changed their mind.
Right.
They don't want it. They want to make it to the playoffs. They don't want that tough game. You know, like Coach D'Antonio does. They don't want that tough game. They don't want the Oregons. They don't want the Atlantic Catholics.
You know? You got to take them on, though. It certainly helps build that team. And he's done a great job at it. But now, before we move on, really quickly, I want you to explain, because I've been covering Lansing Catholic ever since I've been a reporter in this area, and I always look at the sidelines. Mm-hmm. And when you were on the coaching staff, Lee, you guys always had, like, suckers. Like, Jim Ahern always would be eating a sucker on the sidelines as well as the other members of the coaching staff. Is that, like, that's your tradition, right? What is that tradition about?
That comes from one of the coaches. His thing, man, Paul Stornet, he provides suckers. And, like, literally, and just hands them out and everybody gets in behind it. And so, and then, you know, Coach Ahern enjoys the sucker like the next man. And it's just something where you can, you know, kind of
chill
your nerves. Yeah,
right.
You know, you got a little something to focus yourself on, and we enjoy it, you know, particularly preseason. I mean, my mind don't get past the rah-rah, you know, once we're in warm-ups or whatever, I'm eating it, you know, how many bites does it take to get to the center, you know what I mean? I'm smashing mine, but,
right.
You know, some of the guys, they last a couple quarters, you know.
Dig so, that. Yeah. I tell you, folks, it's always interesting watching the Lansing Catholic sideline. But, okay, now when it comes to you, Lee, you went to Cooley High School.
Yes, sir.
My cousin went to Cooley. Shout out to Cooley High School in Detroit from 87 to 91.
Mm-hmm.
Coached at the high school level at Renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference when you evaluate the high school football culture of Detroit and compare it right here to Mid-Michigan?
Back then, it was years and years ago when I was at Renaissance, the culture in Detroit wasn't quite what it is today. Today, Detroit's football culture is monstrous. I mean, you see the training, you see the elite athletes coming out of there, but not just because they're athletes, but because they have a skill set that they have developed over the years, beating, honing that craft in the off season.
Right.
Iron sharpening iron. We're not there yet in Lansing. And so while we had at Williamston had a little heyday, we got Lansing Catholic. We just had Saxton make a run last year. You know, we had a few years back, Grand Ledge was you know, in the game, but it was spotty.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that depth across the board. You know, DeWitt's always a good team. Now Ithaca, if you wouldn't even put them in our category, Ithaca has some domination.
And how about the C-Mac as well? The C-Mac seems to consistently, you know, well, they went 4-0 last week.
If you talk Pouama, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They monsters, you know. But when you talk Detroit football now, I mean, they're putting out, you know, 3 D1 athletes per school dang near. I mean, it's amazing. So we're getting there. We're going to get there with some more off-season work.
Definitely, and I tell you, and you can see the change year after year. I tell you what, the sporting culture here, as far as from a fan perspective, mm-hmm. I mean, it's unbelievable. Every Friday night when I go out to cover a game. Now, 5 minutes left here, Coach. Mm-hmm. I want you to talk about Varsity Nation. Mm-hmm. Explain what it is, how'd you found it, and where you guys are right now when it comes to that organization, growing it from a growing perspective.
Well, we started last year working on a 7-on-7 team from the root, out-of-pocket expenses. Paying those guys at the summit, great people, you know, just paying out of pocket, giving the kids opportunity to train. And I put some coaches together. We got some balls out there, and we started running drills, drill after drill after drill. We ran for months, and we tried to get the kids in again. And we got kids from Eastern. We got kids from Sexton. We had kids from Holt.
So these are high school kids?
High school kids.
Right.
Right. So we're training this year. We're starting the eighth graders. To 11th graders. And then any of our alum, like Sammy Thurman from Mason, any of our alum come back and they train with us and they sharpen their tools as they get ready to go off to college. And he's probably gonna sign with IU.
He just
got a letter of intent. And so essentially we're a 7-on-7 travel team. We'll be in the Legacy League. So if you liken Legacy down in Brighton, there's a new facility, indoor facility. If you liken that league to the NFL, then Varsity Nation would be considered the Detroit Lions of the NFL.
Uh-huh.
And so
gotcha.
There are teams up in Mesquite.
But you guys will win, area. Though. We don't want to be 1-7.
No.
Okay.
No. Oh, comparing to the Lions.
Right.
You know,
they don't want to compare them in that way, but I know what you mean, but we have to clarify that.
I didn't want to bring up like the Redskins. That's where my heart is. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm from the city, so we, you know, I got my blue on. So,
exactly.
You know, the Lions go get some love. You know, this rough patch, we got to hang in there with them, you know?
Hang in there, keep the faith alive, right?
Yeah, keep faith. But yeah, so we're working this 7-on-7 thing, and we're enjoying that. And, you know, we started last year, and we had a lot of kids come out from Everett, you know, Kenny Schmidt. We had some kids from Holt, I mean, a handful of them. And, you know, Hunter from East Lansing, he came
Hunter out. Hunter
Holbrook? What's his last name? Helmick.
Oh, Hunter Helmick, the quarterback.
Yeah, the quarterback.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Even Mason, Mason G. McGee. From Stockbridge, he's a monster.
Yeah, Mason G. Montgomery actually broke the record with 51 touchdowns in a single season, the state record. That's crazy,
Montgomery,
right?
Montgomery, I'm sorry. Yeah, he a monster. He broke Cooper's record.
Yeah, he did, exactly.
Yeah, he's serious. He had a rough night against, I was at that game. I was trying to support him.
Right.
Against Portland the other night. So, yeah, he had a rough
game. He's a heck of a player,
game.
Though, yeah.
He definitely is a good kid.
Right.
And a good player, for sure.
Right. Now, I got to ask, where did the passion come from you to start this, to start Varsity Nation? When did that idea come from and why?
Watching Cooper train down in Detroit a few years back and then watching how his recruiting exploded after he won. He took his buddies down in Detroit. He trained with Michigan Elite and with Ron Rice and Mills Coleman and those guys down in Detroit area. And so he took a buddy of his, and they went down there, and they trained, and they went on the road to Pittsburgh and won the tournament and won a regional tournament. I'm sitting in the coach's office. Jim Ahern and I, we sitting, we kicking it. Phone ringing off the hook. Emails coming through every day. Hey, we want to see Cooper throw. And this is the spring after he's won this tournament.
Right.
And so he's waiting for nationals to see if he'll get to nationals or whatever. They go down to nationals. They do okay. They think they play seventh or whatever. But his recruiting exploded. I'm looking at this like, yo.
Through Michigan Elite.
Through that
endeavor. Wow.
And so we need that here. Our guys don't need to have to travel an hour and a half to get some coaching, to get some work in, to get exposure if you have talent on that level. And so that's where it comes from. Outside of my own personal experience, being one, I felt like I had a good shot to play some D1. I didn't have a coaching that I felt like was needed. And so that's where I became a coach. I said, well, if I can't be, you know, I got to be part of the solution for the next guys, you know.
Certainly. So that gave the platform for Cooper to showcase what he can do. And now we see him doing extraordinary things as a quarterback out at CMU.
Much thanks to I'm in that mode, head coach. He's not a head coach, but assistant coach and longtime community. He's for the long time, he's been involved with the community and done some great things when it comes to high school football. Lee Vickers, again, if you missed that episode last night, all you got to do is simply go to video.wkar.org and watch that episode or any episode that we have published in current sports TV history. I have been kind of glued to my laptop as we were waiting for that interview to finish up, Isaac, because some disturbing photos have just been released, and it is everywhere right now. I'm kind of thrown off right now because I've been reading this incredible story. Deadspin has just published photos of Greg Hardy's ex-girlfriend, Nicole Holder, and photos of the injury she sustained with her altercation at the apartment of Greg Hardy, who is now a star defensive end, then with the NFL's Carolina Panthers, now with the Dallas Cowboys, in which she said that he had thrown her against a tile bathtub wall, tossed her on a futon covered in assault rifles, and choked her until she told him to kill me so I don't have to. It is everywhere. NBC has just published it. Well, I want to say about 30 minutes ago, NBC has published it. I don't see it that ESPN has published it. But if you type it in, in Google, 24/7 Sports has it right now. It's everywhere. And the photos are so disturbing. I approach with caution on that. But you better believe we're going to talk about this next week, because this is a story and these photos are going to be a big topic of discussion for a long, long time. Wow. Reflection Friday, here we go. All right, it's time for Reflection Friday to close out this week here on Current Sports, where we take a look at the week that was here on the show and kind of recap some of our favorite interviews, segments, conversations, and stories. And stories that we may not have gotten a chance to even bring up here on the show. But for me, you know, just centered on one thing here, I wanted to throw a party yesterday because the Detroit Lions finally did what they needed to do in firing GM Martin Mayhew and President Tom Lewan. That was certainly long overdue. And seeing Martha Firestone Ford up there, she's like 90-something years old, go up there and give this empowered and impassioned speech as to why these firings happened. It was pretty comical, I must say, Isaac, when watching her up there. And I had no idea that her maiden name was Firestone. So Firestone married Ford. Talk about moolah, right? Crazy.
Sure is. And my reflection just has to be on the college football playoff rankings, the first ones of the year. So much deliberation, so much hype, and they got it all wrong with no consistency whatsoever in the rankings. It's incredible to me that you don't do it on strength of schedule or on win-loss. You just throw out the teams that have the biggest markets, it seems. So that's mine.
Real quick, who you got? Your boys in LSU or Alabama?
Hey, go Tigers. I'm with you now. Alabama's been underwhelming, and LSU's impressive.
I'm going with LSU in that game as well. Folks, we are out of time. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR, AM 870 East Lansing. We'll see you back here same time, same place on Monday. Be easy, people.